And our good friend Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch, making his weekly Wednesday appearance. But I think the Mooch is here now. Yes. You know, it's funny. I texted you yesterday when I saw Peter King going off on the president, and that inspired us, Bernie, to bring on Peter King, which we did in the 6 a.m. hour this morning. Not long before that, I saw Mooch on CNN with our friend Allison Camerota.
Right, I saw. I was sitting here with you.
And he was being very tough on the president, even tougher than Peter King.
Tough love.
Yes, tough love. So with that said, here he is, our good buddy, the great Anthony Scaramucci. Good morning, Mooch.
Well, hey, good morning, guys. Listen, I appreciate you guys saying it's tough love. You know, Peter and I are also very close friends. I think the president respects the New York style of a Peter King or me. We want him to succeed more than anything. You know, and so for me, the stuff I was saying was very constructive, way less critical. Morgan Freeman is trolling me and saying to me that welcome to the resistance. You know, well, I got to just tell Morgan Freeman, a.k.a. God, I'm not part of the resistance. I'm part of patriotic America,
right,
who wants to see the president do phenomenally well, wants to grow the economy and see wages go up for all income classes and all Americans. So for me, the thing that's super important here, which people are leaving out of the equation, is he's trying to reduce global tension, global adversity around the world. You know, he's in North Korea. He's trying to work out something with the Russians. The tension over the last three presidents has gone up, not down, with Russia. Having said that, though, I was tough on the notion of saying stuff about our intelligence agencies on the international stage like that. You can't do that. We're spending $40 billion a year on intelligence gathering, if you bundle the CIA into the NSA, the military intelligence, the FBI, et cetera, you're probably losing, guys, and I know you guys know this, but I want to share it with listeners, you're losing 600 to 700 people a year in the acquisition of this intelligence, and they have more or less kept the United States safe since 9/11. And so these are heroic people. Now, I know the president's upset with a group of them at the top that have politicized and hurt the integrity of these agencies. But I know down deep in the president's heart that he loves the rank and file of these people, whether they're the FBI, the NYPD. You pick the people. You know this guy as long as I know him. His heart and soul is with these people. You know, he's a man of the people. So
yeah,
for me, we can't go in that direction on the world stage. So I'm super happy that he walked it back yesterday. Super happy.
Well, let me ask you about that. I agree with you 1,000%. His policies are terrific. His heart is always in the right place. But he bumbles things. I think he bumbled Charlottesville. I thought he bumbled this terribly. And in my opinion, I did see you say yesterday he's got to reverse his course. And I think he bumbled it again. I mean, to try to convince us that he used the wrong word. Does he think we're that stupid? I meant to say wouldn't. I said would. And then again saying, but I got to tell you, Putin was really, really strong. I mean, if you're going to reverse it and basically admit you effed up, just admit you effed up.
Okay. All right. But you know that that's not his strategy. You know, his lawyer, the one that he really felt the strongest about, who really feels helped him build the, you know, Trump Tower and refurbish the Grand Hyatt, the Commodore Hotel, et cetera. Roy Cohn told him 30, 40 years ago when he was a young man, you know, don't apologize, don't back down in any situation. And so he's lived by that creed his entire life. And so when you step back at his life and you look at the mosaic of his life, he's had unbelievable success as a television star. He's been a successful real estate developer, a successful branding / licensing person. He's built tremendous golf courses. And then he went on in 17 short months to go to the American presidency. So he's got 40 years of instinct and 40 years of sediment and artifice in his personality where he doesn't like walking things back. He doesn't like backing down. You know, I've only seen him apologize twice, guys. Okay, he apologized after and to his wife, and he apologized in 2 seconds to Theresa May, the Prime Minister of the UK, last week over the Sun interview. It's the only time I've seen him apologize.
Yeah.
And so for him to walk it back, as it relates to the symbolism in his personality, even though I agree with you, a normal guy like you and me would have said it a little bit more strongly, would have polarized it better. He's 72 years old. He's not changing, fellas. Okay, this is the guy. Okay, and so what you have to do, in my opinion, is, and he respects people like this, is you can't be a sycophant around him. You can't over-flatter him. You got to tell him the truth. And so you guys know this in your business as you're growing your great radio show, and I know in my business, my best employees, I would rather have my employees tell me, you know, that I'm wrong. You know, if an employee is telling me I'm tall and you guys know I'm short, that's not going to work for me, right? I'd rather have the guy tell me, you know, you're short and wrong as opposed to tall and right if it's going to help the business.
No doubt about it. Anthony Scaramucci on the Bernie and Sid Show. Speaking of what he did in Helsinki, those were words. Substantively, he's been tougher on Russia than any other president we've had in the recent past. But I want to ask you this, Anthony Scaramucci. The left and the media, which are one and the same, they always overplay their hand. He made a mistake. He didn't say the right things. You have Anderson Cooper's in tears, that dummy of former CIA director, calling this treason. He doesn't know what the hell treason is. And another lady on MSNBC likening this to the Helsinki event to Pearl Harbor and Kristallnacht. But they always overplay, and that plays into Trump's hands to a certain extent as well.
There's no question. So what they've done is they've dumbed out the normal people in society. They said, okay, you're now, you know, there's an expression in basketball, you sometimes have to play the ball, not the man, right? And so what these guys are doing is they're playing the man all day. He's driving them crazy through his personality, but he really is trying to address the systemic problems that the United States is going to face over the next 25 years. Now, whether you like his personality, the delivery of his personality or not, this guy's got unbelievable instincts. And so what did he talk about? Got to reorder the trade system. We got to refigure our military footprint. Okay, we have to have a burden sharing with our allies now, where 60 or 70 years we didn't need to do that, but as the economies have regrown around the world, we need their help. But we've got to figure out a way to dial back tension and toxicity with Russia. We've got to denuclearize the North Korean peninsula. So you think about those things, and you think about you messaging that or me messaging that. It's more acceptable to the liberals, but they don't like him because they trounce their liberal goddess, Hillary Clinton. And they don't like him for that.
I don't like that, right.
Yeah, never gotten over that.
Now get over it. Yeah, it's a loss and it's over. Hey, and one of the reasons...
They're demonizing them, you know?
Yeah, one of the reasons, Anthony, why you are such a great guest on this show is, first of all, you're very, very bright, and you know the ins and outs of politics as well as any guest we've ever had. I mean, we mean that sincerely. But you've got so many other interests, whether it's Mr. Long Island eating dinner at Capellini's in Manhasset, right on the same list as Billy Joel and all the great Long Island greats. You've got season tickets for the Mets, which is great. Sweets, all that great stuff. So DeGrom gives up a long home run to Mike Trout in the All-Star game last night. Unfortunately, that was his game this year. But he's the big story. His agent comes out Monday and says, hey, if you don't give Jacob a long-term pact, we're getting the hell out of here. Now, Jacob, much like Donald Trump, kind of walked it back yesterday and said, wait, I want to be here. I love the Mets, blah, blah, blah. So as a diehard Met fan, knowing, Anthony, our team sucks. No athleticism, too old, nowhere near a real title contender. Do you want to see the Mets give DeGrom a ton of money or maybe even entertain the idea of trading him for young talent?
Okay, so I love this kid. You know, I know the kid personally, and I love the kid. He's a David Wright sort of a kid in terms of his personality. And so I'd love to see him stay on the Mets, but it would be better for him and better for the Mets, actually, if they find him a playoff contender to go to, because he'll get to the World Series. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball, arguably best this year. They can't win for him. There's no run support there. And unfortunately, fellas, we've got to dunk the team again and rebuild the team from scratch. And so one of the big problems that the Mets have, and I know you guys know this, but I want to share it with people, is they sign these kids, they draft these kids, but they chintz them on the way in. The Yankees do not do that. Not even the Royals do that. You know the Red Sox and Dodgers are not doing that. And so the Mets are chintzing these guys when they're drafting them, and the lowball bids are forcing these kids to go back to college or wait for another round of drafting, where the Yankees, you know, Brian's up there and he's built a whole stable team. You know, so you could dunk the Mets team right now and take over the AAA team from the Yankees, and you got a better shot over the next 5 years. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, we do. Yes, that's very good.
Now, I'm sure now because I own a piece of the team, I'm going to get yelled at for saying all that on your show, but I love the team. You know, same way I love the president, I want to talk honestly to these people because, you know, well, I want to win.
Right.
You know, and by the way, you know, this kid is a terrific kid. You pay the kid, you're going to have a great pitcher on the team, and he's going to be frustrated like Tom Seaver was. And guys, you know how diehard I am. Okay, June 15th, 1977, a tear. Remember that Indian when the pollution was happening in the
70s?
A tear drops from my right eye every June 15th because you know what happened on June 15th, 1977. And Donald Grant traded the franchise. Okay, I was 13 years old.
It really wasn't I'm Donald Grant. It was, believe it or not, my former partner on WFAN, my former midday partner, Jody McDonald, that was his father.
Jody McDonald, okay.
Joe McDonald, who traded Tom Seaver for Pat Zachary, Doug Flynn, Dan Norman, and Steve Henderson to Cincinnati.
Good med trivia course correction, okay?
It was still a bad day.
I got to reduce my med IQ points, my 5 points for you bringing that up. But I got to just tell you something. We got to let the guy, you know, go. But you got to find very good prospects for him, or you got to find every day ready to play players for him. You know, and by the way, you know, we should be winning. You know, you've got everything that you need to have. You have an amazing ballpark.
Yeah.
You got an amazing fan base, and so we've got to start looking at practices like what happened with Theo Epstein and the Red Sox or the Chicago Cubs. We have to start looking at the best practices in baseball. And we got to bring him here to New York, and we're doing that in the Bronx, guys.
We got Cespedes back on Friday. The big Subway Series coming up. So keep hope alive, Anthony Scaramucci. We're out of time, man. But listen, we do love you. You're one of our favorite guests.
Great as always.
Thank you.
Love you guys too. Let's win, man.
Okay, let's win.
Let's do it. Let's
it's
go
funny.
Mets.
1977 was the summer when Reggie Jackson had 3 home runs in 1 World Series game to beat the Dodgers. It was a wonderful time for Yankee fans and us Met fans that same summer. Our memory?
Yeah.
Traded Tom Seaver.
It ain't right. It ain't right. It just ain't. No justice, no peace is what I'm saying on the Bernie and Sid Show. We're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.